reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 81. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Satyasya Bhaktir Eva Garisyasi Bhaktir Eva Garisyasi. Devotional service is the most precious possession of a person who honestly uses his mind, devotional service is the most precious possession of a person who honestly uses his mind, body, and words. Purport. The word Tri Satya may refer to the three ways of expressing truth with one's thoughts, actions, and words. And again, Tri Satya may be taken to indicate that bhakti is the best way of realizing the truth in all three phases of time, namely past, present, and future. Lord Kapila told his mother, Devahuti, I shall now explain unto you the ancient yoga system, which I explained formally to the great sages. It is serviceable and practical in every way. Bhagavatam 325.14. In his purport, Prabhupada writes, when we have a super excellent process already present in the Vedic scriptures, there is no need to concoct a new system to mislead the innocent public. The present moment has become a fashion to reject the standard system and present something bogus in the name of a newly invented process of yoga. Bhagavatam 325.14 purport. Bhakti is ancient wisdom, an immediately practical program, and the vision of the future. It is tri-kala jnana, knowledge of past, present, and future. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya Yaksurunmulatam yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Manogishtam Dapitam yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I've returned a few days ago for the end of Kartik. Of course, here Kartik has already ended. What a glorious month of worship of Srimati Radharani. Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. That observing spiritual days gives birth to a devotion. And it's a nice analogy, just like the child hasn't appeared, then the child appears. That's birth. In the same way, in your heart, the child of bhakti comes from following these days and these months. I feel if I have any advancement in spiritual life, I think it comes from doing some kind of vrittas and increasing my spiritual activities during Kartik. And, of course, the last 3-4 days, we have some nice guests here. And I do feel it's my seva to take care of them and make sure they have the appropriate experience in Vrindavan, because it's so powerful to come to the Holy Dham when it is done in the appropriate way, which means under guidance. So Bryn and Joy are here from Yoga Maya. It's a pleasure to host them, such nice people. And my niece Rachel and Kishori Radha from New Jersey. Nice to see her here, absorbed in the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. Shri Bhakti Rasa Bhavato, Shri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Really trying to develop your relationship with Krishna. And it's been real hectic for me. I mean, doing the Namvrata and taking care of people. You know, you don't have time for anything else. So yesterday was a particularly busy day because it was the Vivaha Yajna for Akinchana Krishna Das, and Rati Manjari, his wife. And I thought, because I didn't have so much time to prepare, but I could speak on this verse, there's a lot. Just tell you about the wedding. It was really wonderful. I mean, Indradyumna Swami thought there would be too many people there for Govindaswamy's courtyard, and there's a very, in the same area, there's a 2 plots down, there's an empty lot which belongs to the British Yatra. They're going to build a guest house there. And, it's absolutely, it's absolutely beautiful how they set it up. And Indradyumna Swami, I guess, he's organizing festivals. And I have to say, it was incredibly wonderfully organized. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, but, so they had a huge pandal covering the area and Bhakti Vidyapurna to do the yajna. I spoke, and Akinchana Krishna's parents came with their best friends from New York, and these are quite educated people. I think all Harvard-educated people, people who are, very established in every way, and not inclined to Krishna consciousness. But I have to say, they were just, from the moment they came, I guess they leave this morning to Jaipur, they were just overwhelmed and impressed. They even came to the kirtan the night before in the courtyard of Bibi Govindaswamy. First time they saw Akinchana Krishna in a dhoti, first time they ever heard him chant kirtan. And they sat and they liked it for an hour. They sat for that kirtan. And even they were impressed that when they had a VIP prasadam area set up in the backyard of Bibi Govindaswamy. And these are, it was, the way they set up the tables and the quality of the prasadam, one Indian lady cooked. Because they came all the way from America, Kishori Radha and Bryn and Joy were in the VIP group. Extraordinary prasadam. I mean, and the service and the parents. And I spoke, and what I thought I'd do today is I'd share my lecture with you. I spoke, I walked out, and my mind was that, okay, it was okay, but, got to be detached from the results. But it seemed everyone really liked it, including the parents came up to me to say how much they liked my points, and Indrajumna Swami came up to me, and different God brothers and other people. So basically, I think that's what I'm going to do today, and I'm going out on Prikram. I'm taking Kishori Radha and Joy out to Govardhan. We're going to meet Sachinanda Swami at 9 o'clock. We're going to take lunch with Shamdas at 1 o'clock. We got a full day, and I have to get out on that parikram. And so I thought I would share it with you because people did like the points, and hope it'll find relevance to the audience here. Excuse me if I don't cover this first today, but I thought you'd like to hear this. Well, first, I expressed my gratitude for being there. This would be more in a third-person type discussion class, and I expressed my gratitude to help support the function of people who are of good character and perform so much service. And I marveled at how many people were there. There were 200-300 people in the Pandal from so many countries, a kind of United Nations of support. And I also thanked the parents and told them that my Guru Prabhupada said, good progeny, good source. And I said that sincerely because, when you look at it, people come to Krishna consciousness and it's not that they're a blank slate. Maybe they don't have bhakti, but there's people have different degrees of moral character. And both Akinshin and Lati are people of character. And so I thought we all had to thank the parents for the foundation of their lives. And then I expressed how I had a lot of doubts about coming to the wedding and speaking, and it's actually a fact. And I expressed their doubts to them. For one thing, monks don't traditionally come to weddings. In fact, I didn't tell this story there, but I could tell you the story now. Is I was in Puri and I was walking along the beach, and I walked into the ISKCON property there, and I saw there was a fire yagya, and it was one of my godbrothers getting married. And he said, "Please, please come to the wedding." I said, "No, it's inauspicious for a sannyasi to be there." He said, "No, this, it's transcendental." So I was there. Three or four years later, his wife, who he was now separated, came to thank me for coming to the funeral. What a Freudian slip. I don't feel that way. Coming to the wedding. Although I know another godbrother wrote a sad piece, "My Wedding Turned Into a Funeral." This is before he was a devotee, how he was getting to get married and his wife died. That's a sad story. But she thanked me because she thought maybe I helped break it up or something just by being there. And she had so little regard for her husband at that time. But I spoke sincerely and I said, and I felt that way. I'm a monk and it's a wedding. Okay, I'm giving my blessing. But, real instruction, I thought, should come from someone who's married. And I told, I've never been married. I'm so unqualified for this. And I told that when I was actually being informed that I would give the lecture, I was in my place at Govardhan, and I was thinking, what will I say? You know, I really didn't have realization on married life. And at that time, there was this young couple that was coming to see me. They were supposed to come see me at 9 o'clock, and they were coming to ask for my blessings to get engaged. Very wonderful people. And they were supposed to come at 9 o'clock, and they were late. And I'm a very punctual person. I don't like people who come late. And people know that about me. So they came, and they were late. And I asked, why are they late? They said, well, when we were walking to your place, because Borijan Prabhu was staying next to me, we passed Borijan Prabhu. And we don't know why, but he insisted on speaking to us, which is rare because Borijan Prabhu has so many things to do in his kartik. And I said, well, what did he speak to you about? And they explained this point that he was really harping on. And I'm explaining this to the audience there. It's a very interesting point. What it says is it's not that you have a relationship and you get married. He said you have compatibility and you get married. He said relationship comes after commitment. I told the people, it's a very deep point. Relationship comes after, and that I said, this was said from a person who's been married for 40 years in Krishna consciousness about, well, I think he has been married for 40 years and has two children. As I asked Borijan later what he meant, he said, that's my experience. It's the commitment that allows a relationship to grow. And then I quoted from Eric Fromm from The Art of Loving, a book that I read. We said people think that, you know, infatuation is love. He said, but no. Love is the result of years and years and years and years and years of a committed relationship. And then after the lecture, Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami came and he said, I really like the points that you made. And then he added something else. He said, yeah, what people call love is it's all about them. They're looking for love, but it's all about them. About how their senses and emotions can be satisfied. He said, but he said, your point was right. Real love is commitment. And through that commitment, love develops. And then I had a reflection in the modern world, which I didn't share. I'm giving you some of my other points. I had a reflection in the modern world. My reflection in the modern world that a lot of ladies don't get married into their 30s. And the reason is they never experienced the relationship because nothing was ever committed. And as soon as there was some type of discord, it was finished. That was the time during that struggle, if it was reasonably compatible, to say, no, the relationship is not about my discomfort. It's a commitment. I love you. And develop the relationship for it. So I saw some of these ladies, they're 35, 40, they'll never get married. Because as soon as they'll never experience a relationship, which is something very, very mature and deep. I'm finding that with the guru-disciple relationship. There's a beginning attraction, a beginning whatever you think. But I feel it's taking me 20 years to really develop deep relationships. When there's struggles, when there's challenges, when there's doubts cleared, then relationships really mature and really develop. Then I explain my second doubt. My second doubt is, this function is about commitment. But I don't trust the people in the modern world to make commitments. And I said, I've sat at too many fire yagyas where people before Prabhupada, before God, before the parents, before the community, they make vows and then they get divorced. And they give it up. And I said, that reminds me of a statement by Tom Wolfe. And Tom Wolfe is a famous author and journalist. He wrote a book. He's an incredible writer. And his satirical pieces are par excellent. I mean, they're fantastic. Tried Way to March also agrees. He also wrote a book called The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test about Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, which I had read a long time ago. But when he wrote an article called The Me Generation about the hippie and the new age and all this, and he was mocking it. And he made a point that was so relevant. He said, they will never understand duty before self. They will never understand duty before self. And I said, that is my doubt of coming. You know, that people don't take commitment seriously. And I said, our whole tradition is the power of commitment. And I gave the example of Vasudev. You know, how Kamsa, he was the supreme diplomat, and he was speaking to Kamsa. Kamsa was going to kill his wife. He couldn't convince him in any way until he gave his word. And then even Kamsa was such a big demon, he knew that people do not lie. They'd rather die than lie. And then Prabhupada in the purport said, there is nothing too difficult to execute for a man of character in the execution of his duty. And I'm very conscious and focused of the audience and how much time I have to speak. Otherwise, I had so many examples from my own personal life of meeting Indians from the generation, the next generation, or no, the generation before me. Dadu, the mailman, he vowed. He was a manager in Calcutta, retired to Vrindavan. He felt the land was sacred, vowed never to wear shoes. Now, whether or not he made a good choice or not, the fact is that was the character. Even at the end, when he was sick, he would never wear shoes. Because he vowed. So I was speaking to Ruti and Akinchina about this is a serious matter. This is about commitment. So that you can actually develop one day the fruit of real relationship. In partnership, the service of God and humanity and Srila Prabhupada, and make your lives valuable and useful. And then I said, what this function is to give samskara, to give, you're made of your impressions, to give you an impression in your heart that I've committed myself to this, to death do us part. Death do us part. I've committed myself. Because commitment is good. And keeping your word is good. So, I spoke and I said, and that's the purpose of this function, to support you in your commitment. And I said, the way we do it is we give our blessing, all of us, from the parents to the babushkas, a lot of old Russian ladies. We give our support. But I said, with our support comes our expectations. And when you get blessings and expectations from people you love, they go stronger. So I ask the audience to really open your heart, give them full blessings, but with your expectations to help drive this samskara deeper and deeper into their hearts. That was basically the lecture, and anyway, I walked off the stage. It was like on a stage. And I didn't think so much of the lecture, but by Krishna's grace, people appreciated, the parents also appreciated it. And I appreciated the point that Borijan shared with me. He's so deep that we have to think about real relationships, and they develop when there's commitment. And of course, that extends even to the guru and disciple relationship. Of course, you can commit yourself without the formality. There's also commitment, you are my siksha guru, etc. But there's something when it's real formal and you can't turn back and it's done before the fire. It allows very, very deep relationships to develop. And it's probably one of the reasons why there's initiation. Now, this verse was said, Tri Satyasya, that I'll just get it for a second. Devotional service to honestly use, one who honestly uses his mind, body, and words, or the past, present, and future. Devotional service is the most precious possession of a person. Past, present, and future, words, bodies, and mind, and all circumstances. That's the best thing that one has is ourselves. And what we are is servants of Krishna. The best thing we own. We think we're poverty stricken or we don't have what we want or need. The only tragedy is we don't have what we want or need if it causes a disturbance in such a way that we can't realize the soul. Otherwise, they have no value within themselves. So it's the best possession. And in the future, it's not a means to attain an end. It's the end also. It's the best in the future. Well, you may have a marg or a path that's the best now, but it's not the best in the future. It's not the goal to perform austerities or tapasya or cultivation of knowledge. It's an experience that's a goal. Well, bhakti is the practice and bhakti is the experience that we're trying to attain. And in the few past, it was also the best thing we owned. Even if we felt, oh my God, I joined the ashram, I sacrificed my life. It's the best thing we own. It's the best thing we do with our mind is think of Krishna. It's the honest. To honestly do that, to sincerely do that, Tri Satyasya, to honestly use our body, honestly use our words, honestly use our mind. And this is faith. This is based on experience. Do we actually feel the Holy Name is the topmost progression, topmost possession, excuse me? Do you honestly realize that? That's what I like about Kartik. It helps me to honestly realize that. When I take shelter of the Holy Name, it becomes so clear that this is the topmost possession. And I can take it to bed with me at night. When I go to bed, I just lay on my bed and I chant Hare Krishna until I fall asleep. I cherish the familiarity. I cherish the relationship. I cherish the Sangha, the association of the Holy Name. So this is coming at the end of the Bhakti Sutras. This has to be our realization. And it's true. It is the best thing. Because everything we do is to make ourselves happy. And there can be no greater happiness than a loving relationship with God. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here because I may have to get going. But if anyone wants to say hello, I always welcome it. I'm here in India, and I'm giving class again every day. It's so sweet. And there are some people that come that listen to my sanghas but are in different parts of the world and really call in. So it's nice to see them. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Anda Dulo, Hari Bo.
Hari Bo Maharaj.
Hi. Right. Maharaj.
Yeah, that's Gail?
Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy that you shared your lecture from the wedding because, you know, that would have been the highlight for me of attending the wedding. And, you know, I would have liked to have been at his wedding, even though I wasn't invited. So I'm glad I got to attend in a kind of way. And in the way that was most important for me.
Thank you. I love to be encouraged like that, Gail. And I think you got a better lecture than I even gave at the wedding. Because, you know, when you give it the second time, you remember all the things. But, no, basically that was it. And it was, well, I was actually surprised. When I left the stage, I said, you know, it was everything was translated to Russian. It made it a little bit slow for me. And the lady in Russian wasn't even translating it properly, you know? So, and then I walked down and I said, okay. I was pretty detached. It was okay. But, you know, it's funny. You know, after I gave the lecture, Indradumna Swami came and said, you should be in the White House. And then I walked down. I said, this other god, Brother Arjuna, he said, you should be in the White House. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, that was such a good lecture. I just, what? But no, good. I liked it too because it was. Boyajana's thought. It's a nice. It's a truth that you can carry and take to different places about commitment.
Thank you, Gail. That's the point. I like the best. You know about the fact that relationship comes from commitment. You know, you compatibility first, and then comes relationship. You know.
I was thinking, you know, just like you and Joe, so many years you've been married, even though I won't say because then people will think you're old.
Yes, I will deny it all, Maharaj. I will deny it all.
Yeah. It was great to be at your fifth wedding anniversary. Okay, just joking. Okay. All right. And this is good because then this lecture... And Rati, you could list the lecture as Narada Bhakti Sutras, Akinchana's wedding address or something. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Tiffany. Greetings from New York.
Hey, Tiffany. Great. It would have been great if you would be at the wedding. We would have definitely, anybody that crossed the ocean to come to the wedding, gets to go to the BIT Prashad.
Oh, wow.
It would have been great for you to meet. Some of us.
Yeah,
you were so close and yet so far, right?
I know. Well, I'm glad to hear all the stories behind it, and wow, that prashad sounds amazing. I would have loved to hear you speak.
Can I tell? I'll tell everybody the menu now. Can I tell them the menu? Did I say the menu yet?
Well, we have
what? I'll tell you the menu, okay? And I have to say, it was cooked by one Indian lady with a few helpers.
Wow.
There was this cheese, hot cheese sabji that had kind of like, it was kind of like in a, kind of a gravy, but not fried cheese, but it was really, and then there was a potato sabji, and there was perfectly cooked doklas. And then there was hot puff puris, steaming hot rice, wonderfully cooked dal. There was a salad that also had paneer in it, which was really good. And then there was this apple chutney recipe that came from Bibi Govindaswamy that was famous for 40 years ago. And then there was this subtle light yogurt drink that had these little blueberries in it. And then there was rasamalai, really top rasamalai.
Wow.
And then there was kind of like a strawberry shrikant that was out of this world. And then there was cheesecake, then Russian layered cake, and then they brought these sweets from Belgium. And Bibi Govindaswamy, he was, and the service was great. It was Bhakti Vidyapurna and Bibi Govindaswamy, and they brought from Mayapur some of their priests and their wives, and they were all serving it so nicely. And Bibi Govindaswamy came up to me with a tray and said, "Here, take these sweets." He said, "You know what they say?" I said, "What?" He said, they say Govinda on it. His name is Govinda. So I looked at it, and sure enough, it said Govinda on the sweets, and I was so impressed. But then when I looked closely, it said, well, it was an optical illusion because he put that in my mind. I was looking for it, but actually it was Godiva. It was Godiva.
Okay. I was going to say that's a long name to write on a piece of, you know, little candy.
Okay, so now all of you can water in your mouths for that kind of feast. And because everyone was doing Kartik, in fact, the Kinshin and Rutti, they just ate fruit for the whole Kartik. And I practically took no fried things, no sweets. So it was also the, kind of the end of Kartik feast at the same time, and also the wedding couple who were tied together in a knot. And she was in a red, the pictures will come out, but she was in a red Brijabasi, sorry, and it was tied to his thing, and they also served, and that was nice. And Bryn and my niece Rachel and Joy, you know, they wore saris for the first time, so it was really a kind of a fun event, okay? Okay, Tiffany, we'll see you in India later, hopefully, or at least next year, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the Sangha.
Awesome.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Okay. It's EJ, Melinda, and Balaram Chandra.
Wow, how was that? Wonderful. If Balaram Chandra is there, I saw that lady that he helped bring to Krishna consciousness in Ali. I saw Ali in Vrindavan with some yoga group. Okay, thank you for coming on. Wonderful.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end here. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhya Sattva Krishna Bhiva Japati Tiram Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo.
Thank you.